just turn on your radio or the television, and there's enough in the news on a daily basis to convince anyone of the evidence of evil. I'm not talking about a demon behind every bush or a red devil with horns and a pitchfork type of evil. I'm talking about an evil that is so deep, so insidious, and so pervasive that we are often left speechless, with more questions than we do have answers. Perhaps this is the same chill that came up the Apostle Paul's spine when he wrote these words, "For our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood. Our struggle is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Paul is talking about evil. Evil so pervasive that it can work in more than one person's heart at a time. An evil that causes both personal and corporate sin. The scripture reminds us that this evil is beyond our human control and beyond our power to confront it as human beings. One of the greatest examples of this is from the life of Jesus himself. When Jesus stood before Herod and Pontius Pilate, Herod and Pontius Pilate are not the ultimate source of evil. They are flesh and blood. Even they are held captive by the cosmic powers of darkness and spiritual forces in the heavenly places. Pilate says, "I find no guilt in this man." But because of the crowds, because of his wife's dreams, and of the Roman Empire, Pontius Pilate is powerless to do the right thing and let this innocent man go free. And so Paul reminds us that even those we think have power and are in control are really not. Even they are subject to power that is above them and are even victims of a more sinister power. Knowing this, it even makes that radical statement of Jesus more understandable when he says, "Love your enemies. Pray for your enemies." Because even those who do the most wicked things are also not only perpetrators, but also victims of evil. Not that we should not face the consequences of the things we do, but this understanding leads us to empathy, knowing that all of us need to be free from the power of evil. As our Lord taught us to pray, "Deliver us from evil." And that's what Jesus came to do. That's why God's word today for us is not only good news, it is life-saving and preserving news. "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes of the devil." Do not fight life's battles in your own strength, Paul reminds us. Don't try to fight evil as if evil is only of human origin, mere flesh and blood. Don't take refuge in human and worldly strength and resources, but take refuge in someone greater, the Lord Jesus himself. For God is not only greater and stronger than flesh and blood, he's greater than all things, material and immaterial. Good and evil are not equal forces contending in the universe. As Scripture says of Jesus, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And as Peter says in our gospel, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Sometimes God leads us to a place when we realize there's no strength in anyone except the Lord himself. As John says in his letter, little children, you are of God and have conquered the evil one. For the one in you is greater than the one who is in the world. I cannot tell you why God still allows it to be so. But we live in a world where God has not yet fully conquered evil. He has not yet brought final justice to every land and every people. And he has not yet brought perfect peace. But he has begun. He has won the war already, even though there are many battles to be fought. Even though it appeared that even Jesus, the promised Messiah, was himself the victim of evil, crucified in his flesh and blood by the powers and principalities of darkness, that death could not hold him. The grave did not conquer him, but he rose victorious as a foreshadowing and as a pledge of our victory over the powers and principalities of evil. And so Paul tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God to know that we have every resource that we need for the spiritual battles we find ourselves in. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the good news, a shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and prayer. God wants to clothe us. He wants to arm us with his power, to put on his armor so that we can stand firm. He dresses us up in his protective righteousness, that of Jesus Christ. And it's his goodness that shields us, and it's his power that protects us. He gives us all this defensive armor so that we may not be spiritually harmed. As Jesus tells us, do not fear those who can kill the body, but after have nothing more they can do. But God gives us also offensive weapons, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and prayer. And as Christ's church, we should not forget to take up these arms, these weapons, to be in the Word and to pray in the Spirit. For our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the principalities, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. But our victory is through the flesh and blood of Jesus, who is the bread of life. Through his perfect life, his healing touch, his death on the cross, his rising from the dead, and ultimately his coming again, when he finally rights every wrong and makes all things new. Now have I found consolation, comfort in my tribulation, balm to heal the troubled soul. God, my shield from every terror, cleanses me from sin and error, makes my wounded spirit whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.